All right. Good morning, folks. Welcome back. Happy Friday. And I guess I would say, most importantly, 419. If you haven't heard that greeting, it is a long-used term, especially on this particular day in the Patriot community, because this is, in fact, Patriots Day. And it is a day that throughout history has resulted in and been the scene of major turning points for both liberty and for tyranny. And I think that's a suitable and important way to start off, just because there are so many things going on this week. This may be one of the biggest weeks of news ever, and given some of the things, it may be one of the final ones too. But we'll come back to all of that because we got lots to talk about. Let me just introduce it this way, and I'll say good day and good morning to David Justice with me today, and that is that 419. If you are not aware, and not only is it Patriots Day. The reason is because this is the date of the shot heard around the world, fired in Lexington and Kentucky, Lexington and Concord Greens, rather, in Massachusetts, April the 19th, 1775, also called the shot heard around the world. It was a day where we saw one of the major turning points in human history when it came to liberty and the fight against tyranny. It was a time when King George, the nutcase of his day, although he wasn't quite as senile as the guy we got in there today, he was just insane. He basically tried to take the powder and ball, take the guns of the American patriots and colonists, and they fought back. And as a result, the American Revolutionary War was said to begin on this day, the War for Independence. Literally, several hundred years later, on the very same day, the Clinton regime decided it was a great day to execute six dozen or so men, women, and children in a church, a Seventh-day Adventist church, and Sabbath keepers, basically, in Waco, Texas, because there was evidence that they didn't want to come out there, and they wanted a final solution to the problem. It turns out that then 2 days to the very day again later, they blew up the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. And no, Tim McVeigh's little teeny truck bomb, which kept growing anyway, was not enough to have done it. It took contact explosives, lots of planning, and they had to make sure they got all the bad guys out of there first so they could kill the children in the basement and destroy all the evidence of what they had been doing that was contained within the Murrah Building. So it is a day that really, really dates back when it comes to tyranny and liberty. And that's why I think so much of what we're seeing today is ever so important to note. All right. With that, I'll say good morning, David. Go ahead and take it. How are you doing?
Well, I would like to distinguish something that I think everyone, when we talk about liberty, we're talking about Israel. We're talking about the light of the world. We're talking about the people that were intended to bring truth and order, law and order to the world. And so when the founding fathers separated from Great Britain, they were also separating from Edom, which had taken over the monetary system of the day. And they wanted to come. They saw themselves as Israel coming across the sea, and they saw America as the new Jerusalem. And that's what is missing, is our understanding that there was a covenant formed back in 1620, the Pilgrims, when they landed at Plymouth Rock, established a nation that they believed, and they wrote it in their writings that they were moving Israel to the new continent of America. Anyway, that's what's missing in our understanding today. But when we plug that in and see that Edom is still nipping at Israel's heels and wanting to tear us down, days like this as we recall Waco and other events, we can see clearly that that's what they're about, is destroying the light so that they can set up their Zionist kingdom so that they can control the world. But they keep us blind and deluded because we're reliant and dependent. And so this conversation that we're going to have today may be a wake-up call that Israel might be reignited on this planet. And I'm not talking about the corporate state that's occupying Palestine right now. I'm talking about the true people of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, I mean, and that's an important distinction, and there's going to be so much that we need to talk about today that, again, it's for good and for ill. Things on this day that have some kind of symbolized a continuing battle between good and evil. It turns out that 419 is one of the major pagan turning dates as well. It's a day that, like Halloween and like 9/11 and some others that are, and of course the birthday of Mithras, December the 25th, that are all kinds of things that have been scenes of battlegrounds throughout history. There's a whole lot more. A good friend, Tim Kern, who actually did this show with me for several years, before he had to withdraw and go earn a living on Friday mornings. Anyway, he used to use 419 as a greeting and had a list of literally dozens of major turning points in history on this date. Well, what we have today are some new ones joining the list. David, I'm going to start with a story that when I saw it, honestly, this infuriated me. I will admit it. It's not that it surprised me in the least. This was not even remotely surprising, but it is beyond disgusting. Okay, we have a Bond villain traitor masquerading as Secretary of Aktun, Homeland Defense. And this guy is probably one of the biggest scumbags ever to infest the swamp, and that's saying a lot. Alejandro Mayorkas, who has overseen the invasion of the United States to the tune of 10 million or more military-age males, many of them from communist China, many of them from other terrorist organizations, many of them involved in active military. How many? They don't know. This guy won't say, but he is doing his job. His job, of course, is to make sure that the invasion continues. And what we saw this week, unfortunately, was a note from the Senate, the whores in the Senate, and that's the proper terminology, folks. Whether it's offensive or not, I don't care, because honestly, I would a lot rather have whores running the country than these blankety blanks. The Senate basically said, you sent us articles of impeachment against this guy because he has been engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors. Not only is he not doing his job, he is literally making war against the American people. We say, the hell with the American people. David, they gave the great big middle finger to the entire United States by saying, we will dismiss these articles of impeachment because he's doing the job we sent him there for against the guy who is a criminal, and they called them unconstitutional. They said that to find him guilty of willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law is unconstitutional. Why? Because we don't have to comply with the law. And so they voted down on strict party line votes the entire concept of holding somebody responsible. And I would say if there was ever a time when the American people should realize, wow, this is it. They are not hiding it. They haven't been hiding it for a while. We knew this was going to happen. But to literally give the middle finger to the Constitution and say, look, come on, we don't have no stinking Constitution. He's making war on the U.S. That's what we want. Why would we hold him responsible for doing exactly what we sent him there to do? And that, David, is the problem. All right, go ahead.
I'd like to distinguish the House is the impeachment forum where they bring the charges. The House is acting in this context as like a grand jury. And when a district attorney or a U.S. attorney brings criminal charges in the grand jury then issues an indictment, and then the court, the judiciary, hears the case. In this context, the House impeached issued an impeachment order impeaching Mayorkas, yes. And the Senate, who is acting as the judiciary in this context, summarily dismissed it because Chuck Schumer brought a motion forward to dismiss it. If I'm correct, this has never happened in history.
Never before.
And all we can deduce from it is that the Senate at a party line, voting along strict party lines, approved the job that Mayorkas is doing regardless that he was indicted. And this is not the way law works. So here's, you said it, I'm going to repeat it, just one more piece of evidence that we have a country that's gone completely rogue relative to our covenant with our Father. And the people that are supposed to be representing us are no longer representing us. They're representing the Zionist Edomite movement on this planet And America is the last bastion of hope standing in the way. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, America basically yesterday, when the Senate essentially said, and pardon my language, folks, but there's no other way to put it, giving the middle finger to the American people is not sufficient. They basically said, screw the Constitution, the hell with your rule of law. And by the way, if you think there's going to be an election this fall, think again, because we've just proven we don't give a damn about what you want, what you vote for. We're going to do what we want, and it has nothing to do with the rule of law. And that is the real message here. Boy, if you're not infuriated, you're not paying attention, and it really is that simple. And by the way, we're just getting rolling, folks. Go ahead, David.
Well, again, and we've talked about this week after week after week, we're at war, and they're acting as though they've won. Our problem is we're not exercising our power as though we've won. And so to the degree that we've relinquished and abdicated and surrendered is the degree that they're exercising the power that they don't have, but they do, because by our silence we consent. And so what we're watching is the dismantling of America, and the American people, who are blind, ignorant, lazy, and dumb, for the most part, collectively, we're okay because we're so caught up in our materialistic lives that we're not paying attention to the fact that we have lost our country, and we don't know how to get it back. And that's what's going on, Mark. Go ahead.
Okay, well, and let's continue with some of the other things in the news. This is obviously serious, but here's another one. I'm going to suggest this is very much related, because guess who the Federal Bureau of Investigation supports and reports to? The same traitor. And so here's the story this morning. Again, not the least bit surprising. We know it. We've talked about it. We have 10 million invaders in the United States, all of them illegal, and a great many of them foreign military. Pick a country. If they don't have foreign military here, they're fools, because they have not taken advantage of the opportunity that's been given them. But it goes like this. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Warning from the FBI. Chinese hackers have infiltrated U.S. infrastructure. They've already gotten a whole bunch of critical companies occupied, and they're preparing to launch a massive infrastructure attack on the U.S. Gee, do you think? Hackers are preparing to launch this major attack on critical U.S. infrastructure. They've already infiltrated a bunch of countries, companies, said FBI Director Trader Christopher Wray in a... And China's now developing the capability to cause significant damage. No, they have the capability, folks. They're honing it. They're just waiting to unleash it. At a time of their choosing, the only question is when to launch the catastrophic blow. Well, hey, there's no hurry, because they own the damn Senate! And they got their traitors doing the job that they couldn't get anybody else to do before they took over the government. David, this is an open war. It is not being hidden. And the FBI is just confirming what we've already known. And that is, hey, we serve the traitors. And we're just telling you, because now there's nothing you can do to stop us. Go ahead.
Well, they've chosen the winning side, at least as so long as we don't come into the manifestation of who we actually are in the original covenant of this country, they are already operating as the one. And so they're relatively safe and secure to operate inside treason, because they've had a successful coup d'etat. Now, here, the reason they didn't, and this is just my perspective, and the reason they didn't, the Senate voted against having the impeachment trial of Mayorkas, is because of all of the fallout that it would point to relative to Joe Biden, who's actually authorizing Mayorkas to act in the capacity of a traitor, because Biden's administration itself is a traitor. And the Senate is operating as a traitor. But this is nothing new. This country, the government of this country, the individuals that were running the government of this country, committed a coup d'etat decades ago. It's just that now the face mask is coming off, and we're seeing it for what it really is, Mark.
Okay, let's continue with the revelation of things that if people haven't heard about them, they will. It may be, well, it's already too late for the most part. Here's another one. In testimony before Congress yesterday, Secretary of the Air Force, there's a scumbag. This guy actually, he just seemed more incompetent to me than he did evil, like, say, Lloyd Austin. But Secretary of the Air Force Frank Kendall made the open admission during questioning by Representative Matt Gaetz that fully 2/3 of the entire F-35 fleet in the United States, these are the major defense part of the triad, the F-35s are operationally incapable of doing the job. In other words, about 29%. He was cited a figure by another Air Force general. He said, would you dispute this, said Gates, that about only 29% of the U.S. F-35 fleet is operationally incapable? He said, no, I wouldn't dispute that. These are people admitting that, and others have said, well, wait a minute, even if it's operationally capable, it's a badly designed, incapable aircraft anyway. So it's kind of like piling insult on top of energy and injury. And meanwhile, the Russians and Iran and North Korea all have, not to mention Communist China, of course, but they don't need it. They've got their infiltrators in the halls of Congress. They all have hypersonic weapons capability that the U.S. doesn't have. We got morons running the show, and the morons are running the show on behalf of the open traders who are calling the shots. Again, I will say this. We are looking at a military that is incapable of defending the country. They're out there being fuzzies and teaching kids how to be trannies and worry about that rather than how to maintain airplanes and sail ships. And they can't do anything. You know, this is the gang that couldn't shoot straight. But wait a minute, who cares? They're not defending our country anyway. They want to send tens of billions more to Ukraine, but to hell with the open border. When Texas falls, we'll just laugh about it because Mayorkas is saying Arkansas and Oklahoma and the rest of the country is next. Go ahead.
You know, by calling these people morons, you're insulting morons.
I understand.
What we're
I'm
dealing
sorry.
With here is a malevolent. Okay, this okay. is malevolence. Okay, this is not a group of people that is serving the American people. They are not bound by the Constitution. They've thrown off the binds of the Constitution. This is not a moronic thing they're doing. This is a malevolently evil thing they're doing to bring in. And foreign armies onto the soil to overthrow the American people who are the sovereign of this country. This plan has been going on for a long time. We're just witnessing the fruition of it. So go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some more. We got lots and lots more stories today that all make essentially the very same point. And we haven't even talked yet about World War III. But let's talk about more treason from the House of Representatives. There's a scumbag named Mike Johnson who basically said, ha ha, as bad as the Senate is, I'm just as bad. Because there was a bill to reauthorize warrantless search and seizures. This is the we don't need no stinking warrant bill. We're going to let the invaders come in. We don't care about them. We don't care about traitors in the Senate. We don't care about that. But we do want to keep tabs on you peons so that we can make darn sure that when we unleash the terror, you're not going to be able to even talk about what we intend to do to you. So, the warrantless search and seizure bill went through again. I've got a great piece from John W. Whitehead. I talked about it on the news. Down with Big Brother, he says, and it's not going to happen, warrantless surveillance makes a mockery of the Constitution. They reauthorized not only Section 702, an end run around the Constitution, and said, we don't need no stinking warrants. But they now are saying, look, we're going to expand the unconstitutional searches and seizures even more. So now, this is from Ron Wyden, who's a leftist from Oregon, but at least the man understands the Constitution and what the Fourth Amendment was supposed to be. Talking to the American people, he said they've been turned into an extension of Big Brother. This bill, and don't think for a second the traitorous Senate isn't going to say, oh yeah, we love it. If you have any access to any communications, the government can now force you, they say, to help it spy. Meaning if you have access to a server, a wire, a cable box, and a Wi-Fi router, a phone, or a computer, or you work in a building where these things even pass through or are stored, like every office building in America, which has cables running into it, people who are not just the engineers, but anybody else that they want can be forced to say, rat out your neighbors. We're gonna make you put a USB thumb drive in a secure machine after dark because you're a janitor. And this is literally the American Stasi being unleashed. Oh, let's see. Who is in fact, we know the names. We know the traitors. There should be nothing of any surprise to people involved here, David, but this is unbelievable. I mean, it just simply says, look where we are. Go ahead.
The Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures basically shall not be infringed. What the Congress is doing is a incomplete violation of the Fourth Amendment, like you said, but they don't care because by the time it goes through the courts and is challenged up and that's assuming somebody has standing to challenge it. By the time it gets to a court that can actually throw it down as unconstitutional, the damage is done. They're going to be able to go to ISP, Internet Service Providers, under this new bill and pull up, for example, my history as far back as it goes. All they need to do is issue a subpoena or a search warrant but the FISA court is barely needs any probable cause. They just need an application by the FBI who wants to do a search into, like, for example, everybody that they suspect was at January 6th. They can get a complete history, and this is the danger of this type of thing. America's founders, honestly, specifically...
Go ahead. I agree with you, but... In fact, it goes farther beyond that because these people are lawless. They've already said we don't give a damn about treason. We don't care if we got people that are aiding and abetting traitors to come in and take over. So what does that say? It says, look, we have access to your private stuff. We own the courts. We can take a sitting and actually elected president and say he wasn't elected. Then we can add insult to injury by going ahead and just subjecting him to trials with the bogus juries by people who aren't actually, you know, legitimate jurors anyway, and for crimes that aren't real crimes. We'll just make them up. Do you think they can't make up stuff against you? And do you think they can't say, hey, look, we don't need no stinking warrant. We don't really need evidence either. We'll just pretend that we have it and we'll make it up. The FBI has been caught. They did it with the people that when in Oregon. They did it. They've done it time and again. They have made stuff up. They have lied under oath. They have committed fraud. They have covered evidence up from JFK to Waco to the Oklahoma City Murrah building. And now they're saying we're going to use our powers, not our real authority, to conduct warrantless searches and seizures. Do you think if we can make stuff up and commit crimes behind the scenes that we can't just go ahead and do anything we want? So what people are not recognizing here is we already have star chamber courts, and now they have a complete authority to investigate and make stuff up out of whole cloth. They can simulate evidence. They can put juries of idiots in place that will rubber stamp what they're doing, and they're doing that in New York. We'll talk about that in a minute. The rule of law, David, is dead, buried, stick a fork in it, and they are rubbing people's noses in it besides. Go ahead.
Well, I'm only going to disagree with you to this extent, okay? The mechanism, the structure is still there if we can access it. Right now, there's a case in front of the United States Supreme Court where they're going to review a case concerning a police officer from Pennsylvania that was indicted for going into the building on January 6th. And this particular case, should the Supreme Court rule in accordance with the Constitution, most of the people that have been thrown in jail for the alleged holding up Congress charge, which is a felony, could be reversed. So, in other words, there's a form, there's a structure still left. And that's what the people that are committing the coup d'etat in real time are the most fearful of, because there's a sliver, a micro sliver left of some law and order. And if we here, this is the scary part. If we lose this constitutional protections that we have imposed upon the federal government, they're not our Bill of Rights, they're the limitations and the restrictions on the power of government. If we lose this, we will never regain it. This generation has so much at stake, Mark.
I don't disagree with the "we will never regain it" part. The question I have is, has it been lost to the point where it cannot be regained now? And honestly, I think on that score, a reasonable man can and may very well disagree, because is it over? Well, we already know that if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and repent, that I will speak, you know, hear from heaven and so forth. But we'll talk about all of that when we get back. We are back, folks. Final segment of the Drive Time Friday show for today, where there is so much news, so much of it having to do literally with the continuing battle between liberty and tyranny, between those who serve the creator of the universe and those who are no longer even hiding which team they're on. And it's Team HaSatan, the adversary to everything.
I can't hear Mark.
Whoops.
I don't know. We've lost Mark.
No, I'm here. David?
I don't know if I'm broadcasting right now.
Okay. Hang on a second. Let me get him, folks, and...
Mark, I'm
showing you
you've got yourself muted.
Okay. Let's try this again.
Go ahead. I can't hear anything, Mark. You've got to run with it.
Okay. This is no surprise, I guess. Looks like the network has muted, even though I've okay.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and talk. I'm assuming I'm on the air. We were discussing the latest news of the invasion, coup d'etat of America and the attempted overthrow of the American people.
All right.
Go ahead. Now there's Mark. Mark, I'm hearing you now.
I was here, but I was not here, and it's kind of wild. What a wonderful tool we have, David, that spontaneously mutes people without being told to do so. But I can guess that there's plenty of reason for it this morning. And when we went to break, let's see, I was and I've forgotten. Heck. I was in the middle of something, and now I'm drawing a total blank. Let's talk about it had to do with warrantless surveillance anyway, but I'm not sure exactly what the point was, and the Constitution and whether we still have any of that and so forth. I guess the idea was people need to recognize that we have gone so far into lawlessness, into a total absolute disdain for even the concept of the Constitution. You were saying that there were some slivers left, and I appreciate that, but I don't know whether or not it's too late. Oh, I know what I was doing. I was quoting from 2 Corinthians 7:14, and whether we get there or not remains to be seen. I honestly am not sure that there are enough Americans that that actually believe that we have a government based on this idea that there is a God, that he has given us rights, and that the purpose of government is to secure these rights, as opposed to invade the country, destroy people who recognize what's going on, and wiretap and control the rest with terror right out of George Orwell. So your comments on any of that?
Well, my comment is this. We're being taken advantage of because our understanding of the truth is so infantile and juvenile. We've been eating kindergarten milk for so long that we don't know what being mature and complete even looks like. We've so long engaged in the pablum of institutional Christianity, who keeps us all in kindergarten, because the churches have been invaded, and the so-called churches, which are totally not the light of the world and totally empty of salt, have misled the American people in the country to where we are so not prepared for what we're dealing with. I believe that this is why they're being, when I say they, the Zionists, the Edomites, the people that control the monetary system are so bold and blatant because they know that we're wallowing around in our diapers and we can't stand up to them. So here lies our problem is how do we come out of our kindergarten capacity and come into the fullness of who we are, because if we don't, then we're not up to the fight that is at our doorstep. Mark, go ahead.
Well, I won't argue that we're not up to the fight. I think part of the reason is what we're seeing today, David. You're seeing people that are essentially so withdrawn, so out of touch, so clueless, that when the Senate for the United States literally stands up and says, here's a big F you to you, the people, to the Constitution, and everything that you thought we were supposed to be here putting our hands on a Bible to preserve and protect and defend. And what you don't realize, you fools, is that we are the very enemies that we took an oath against. And that, it could not be any more clear, on every front. Let me throw one more story out. This is an old story made new again. Dr. Rand Paul of Kentucky put an op-ed out earlier saying essentially, yes, we knew it. Yes, we knew that the Zyklon B injection was a fake. Yeah, we knew, and he's been talking about it, but he hadn't been as bold up until recently as he's starting to get. We knew Fauci was lying. Fauci should have been in jail. They were committing acts of war against the American people then. Here's an email that he quoted in the op-ed. They admitted they had 15,000 samples in Wuhan of various bioweapons and proteins and DNA, and they could do the full genomes of 700 different coronaviruses. And furthermore, there were officials from 15 federal agencies that knew, you ready, all the way back in 2018. This was COVID-19, but they had it named before it came out because they were developing it. They knew back in 2018 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was doing what they were doing to create the bioweapon. So, you know, it's not news that these people have been engaged in acts of treason, which consists of making war against the American people. And now they're just basically saying, yeah, you've got the evidence, and we're going to go ahead and commit treason. Meanwhile, there's a guy that you think's going to save you. Ha ha, we'll show you. We're not even going to give him an honest trial. Go ahead.
Well, my people perish according to Scripture. My people perish, quote, for lack of knowledge. And because we've rejected knowledge, then we're being rejected. We're living in the potential, complete and total destruction of America. But it's our own fault because we have not stood up and challenged the narrative that is being foisted upon us, which is the false reality and the false everything. The false, everything's fake. We're living in a fake reality. And because we cannot distinguish the fake reality from the truth, we're being taken advantage of in that regard. And so what we're witnessing is the destruction of truth, the final destruction of truth, because they're commandeering everything that is not real and true and causing us to believe in a powerful delusion. And this is, we're watching the systematic manifestation of a delusion that ultimately we have to stand up and fight against if we want to have any kind of semblance of liberty and justice on this planet. Mark, go ahead.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the other things. We'll get some of this out of the way quickly because, it shouldn't surprise anyone. You got a criminal masquerading as a judge in New York where Alvin Bragg is essentially saying, look, we haven't decided yet exactly what the charges are because we're still making them up. But, the hush money trial, as it's called. Well, there's no hush money crime, folks. There is no evidence of the hush money crime, and they're not going to have a real jury either. There have already been three jurors. Now, these are not people that were voir dired, which isn't even constitutional to begin with. These were people that were seated on the jury that have been thrown out for various reasons. One of them turns out that he had a criminal past of being a openly going out and destroying conservative materials, yard signs, and so forth, for which he had been convicted. And he lied in order to get on the jury. So they caught him, or at least they decided to make a poster child out of him. They released him. Another juror basically said, hey, you know what? If people find out that I were even to consider voting to acquit Trump, I'm in New York. I know it. I know that Antifa is going to kill me and that there's not going to be anybody in this court or anybody else that's going to stop them. Because if I don't vote the way I'm supposed to, my ass is grass. But, you know, and so they kicked her off. And there are others, essentially, that are saying, look, who are we kidding? This is a guy that's the president of the United States, and the judge is going to tell us what the law is. They're going to make it up because there's no crime here. And so we know full well that you can't find a juror that doesn't know what the president of the United States looks like. And if you do, he's a blithering idiot. And, you know, too stupid to sit on a jury anyway. So everything about this, David, is a literal sham. We all know it, and yet people are watching it. Go ahead.
Well, okay, so we look at China, and China is run by the Communist Party, and what we're witnessing is the exercise of the Communist Party, and let's call it what it is. It's Edom. Let's call it what it is. It's evil. It's the enemies of truth. They're erecting their system and operating it in America, and this is what it looks like. It doesn't get better from here. It gets worse. Here's the problem, Mark. Here's the problem. You know what? They want us to be afraid. They want us to operate in fear. They want us to panic. They want us to be discouraged and frustrated. And, you know, I hope that we're not contributing too much to that narrative by scaring people. But here at the same time, I'm hoping that we overcome the fear and realize who we are so that we can stand up and begin to learn our history and learn the distinctions that have caused them now to stand up in this powerful delusion. And so that we can turn this thing around. And at this point, I'm not quite sure how we get that done. But you know what? I'm seeing right now the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And Trump seems to be the guy that is working the hardest. Now, and I don't know whether he's actually going to take this power that ultimately he has and turn around and use it as part of their system or not. We can't tell. But his example and the way they're attacking him is exactly how they're going to come after the rest of us if he's not successful. So I say we say a prayer for the truth to come out and the wheels to fall off everything they're trying to do to Trump so that at least he's thrown as a saboteur, he's standing in the way of what they're trying to do.
Okay, well, let me make a couple of points. I don't disagree with what you've said, but I do think we have to point out, David, the truth has come out. How much more truth does it take to come out when the Senate of the United States stands up and gives a middle finger to the American people and says, ha-ha, we committed crimes, we know it, and you can't stop us? And I ask the question again, does anybody really think that they are going to pay any attention or even allow, you know, they may go ahead with the sham. I don't think it makes a blankety-blanket bit of difference. Does anybody really think that a so-called election this fall is going to make a damn bit of difference? They're going to simply say, look, we ignored actual treason. Why don't we just commit some more of it? Who says you people have the right to decide anything? We're going to install our fake puppet in the White House, and you can't stop us. Matter of fact, we haven't stopped him for 4 years. Why should they pay any attention now? Go ahead.
Well, I think I'm in the camp that all roads lead to Obama. Soros, and a hierarchy above them that are the puppet masters that are actually behind everything on this planet when it's touching the monetary system of this planet. What we're seeing is a big charade. So they're performing this act, this story, as they bring the curtain down on America, but it's all designed to cover up their crimes they're high crimes
and treason,
which ultimately goes back to the monetary system and the unlevel playing field that they've been operating in for decades. They see themselves as unstoppable now, and so they're pulling. You know, as long as you and I can sit here and talk about this subject out loud on the radio, we're not there yet. We're not to the totalitarian dictatorship they're establishing. The day they come and arrest us, we'll know that we're there. But in the meantime, people need to say it, not be afraid to talk about it. Go ahead, Mark.
The day that they do that, it's too late. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn pointed that out when he said, you know, oh, how we burned in the camps, when we realized that if those people who were busting down doors in the middle of the night had some fear that they weren't going to get home to their families after that, then maybe things would have been different. Well, that's why we're talking about this now, and that's the point I want to try to make. Now, let me make this clear. You know, you said we need to make sure that people don't lose hope. I don't want people to lose hope at all. We know that he who is within me is more powerful than he who is within the world. We know the promises that we have, but we also know one other thing, and that is he has told us, do not keep silent. If you're not willing to stand up for righteousness, if you're not willing to stand up for what you believe, then what the hell good are you? And that is the question I continue to keep asking of people. When is it going to happen that you finally say, you know, I've had enough? I just can't stand here anymore and say they can continue to get away with this stuff and we're not gonna at least recognize it. You know, we talked about evidence and what more evidence do we need? I remember thinking on the night that they shut the polling places and the counting stations down, put up cardboard in the window and said, ha ha, you know, your checks and balances, your counting systems, your poll watchers, they aren't gonna have anything to say here because we're gonna go ahead and just do this. At that point they had to do it in the middle of the night, but they did it. And they got away with it. And, you know, I could watch anybody that has any basic understanding of statistics could say, what are the odds that the guy's losing all evening long, that he never got out of his basement to campaign, and all of a sudden, when the cardboard shows up in the windows and there's nobody there to stop them, that all of a sudden they pull out the stops and every vote, every single vote comes in for the senile cretin who's on the payroll of the Communist Chinese. What an amazing coincidence. No, there are no coincidences like that, and everybody knows it. That's the point. And, you know, the evidence, we've seen the evidence. Go ahead.
Well, here's some breaking news. Yeah. The House just overwhelmingly advanced the latest Ukraine aid bill, 316-94 vote, 151 rhinos are voting to send $95 billion more dollars in foreign aid to Ukraine. You know, clearly, whatever's going on in Ukraine is not about the American people.
Well, okay,
whatever's
wait a second.
Going on your go ahead, Mark.
As bad as that is, David, there's more, and I talked about this yesterday because it came out yesterday. There is a rhino sellout trader. How many of these do we have to see? From Wisconsin, named Mike Gallagher. And he basically has been of no good at all, claims to be a Republican. He announced he was going to resign from Congress, but he was going to wait until after April the 9th to resign from Congress so that the Republicans couldn't hold a special election and put somebody else in there before they rigged the election come November. So he hung around just long enough to make sure that the special election couldn't be held so that nobody could fill his seat with somebody that was honest. And then he announced he was going to retire on the 18th or 19th, which would have been today or yesterday. But now, guess what? As of yesterday, he said, you know, I'm going to hang around through the weekend so that I can get my good buddy Joe Biden and this Ukraine aid bill and all the other treason that we're pushing here so that I can get that through. So when the Republicans said, hey, why don't you resign early so that we can fill your seat with a good guy? He said no. And then when the sellout said, why don't you stick around another day so we can pass all of this crap that we're going to shove down the American people's throats? He said, fine. And then, are you ready for this? He was given the highest award that a civilian can get, which is the official trader award from the Department of the Navy, in order, you know, at Biden's behest, because he was going to hang around and commit an act of treason. You know, none of this should surprise us, but people need to be asking themselves the question, what more is it going to take before you wake up? Go ahead.
Well, the founding fathers warned that if America fell, it would be from within. And we're witnessing the fall from within. But it's relative to our ignorance and lack of knowledge that we're falling. So shows like this, and there's a lot of digital patriots with podcasts going on that are calling a lot of attention to the what's going on. But what there's a serious lack of, and this is what I would hope that we would talk more of, is who are we? That if we were operating in a who we are thing, what would that look like? You know, if we were actually to step up and be who we are so that we could fight this government, what would that actually look like? And that's what's missing, I think, Mark, from our conversation. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, and that's, we've got about 3 minutes. Let's go ahead and close with that. Now, we pretty much do this every week. We know that. The message, I think, is the same. It's not like we can't read scripture, although most people won't. They're sure as hell not going to hear it in Sun God Day school and, in places where people don't even understand what the Constitution was once supposed to be about and what it was once supposed to protect. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean that the rest of us can't take some of these lessons to heart. For example, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, there's one that we should have been able to take to heart a long time ago, because it's very clear that the reason we've gone down this road, in part, is because they do not have knowledge. They do not have understanding. And as what does he say? The Creator says, because you have rejected knowledge, I'm going to reject you. I'll reject your children. I'll reject you from being priests for me. And that, of course, means, you know, if you understood what that was supposed to be, that goes for your fathers and your other fake so-called religious officials besides. So it starts, David, with us coming out, understanding, speaking the truth boldly as we ought to, and recognizing that, yeah, we're not supposed to fear what's going on here, but we sure as hell aren't supposed to sit back and take it quietly and go to the graves and take the mark of the beast and do all the stuff that Big Brother is literally cramming down people's throats that they intend to do.
We're the bride of Christ. We're the children of God. We're the brothers of Yeshua. We have so much power that is sitting in us latent that we don't get it, because our churches, our institutions stole that information from us, and we allowed it. Just like the government stole our freedom from us and we allowed it. This ultimately comes back to us. We have a covenant with our Father, our Creator, and until we recognize our part in the breach of that covenant, we're going to continue to be rejected by our Father, because we're not truly acting in the capacity as His representatives on this planet. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives of truth. And to the degree that we don't stand in it is the degree that we're being overcome by a tsunami of malevolence. This is what we're experiencing. If my people, as our scriptures quotes, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn for their wickedness, I would heal their land. Okay, so we just got to come into the realization of who we are. Reread scripture from the place that maybe Yeshua was saying what he meant. And we do have the ability and the power to walk in the capacity that he, within which he walked. Those are the people that are going to be equipped to take on this battle and put an end to this dictatorship on this planet. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's see. We've got less than a minute here. I guess what I will suggest is the following. We are coming up on a weekend when there's lots of consternation. We had a, for the first time, in several years, the date of the Ishtar Sun God Day celebration, which, you know, once upon a time people understood was, at least, they believed it to be the day of the resurrection of the Mashiach, even if they didn't know his real name and so forth. And now we have Passover coming up this weekend, a month different. But isn't it interesting that it seems to coincide with all these other things? April the 19th, this battle between good and evil, so much being revealed. You know, we didn't even talk about World War III, but there were more moves on that front to accelerate it and extend the continued threats. So this is a time like never before for people to recognize, keep his feasts, his Sabbaths, his understanding, and above all, to know who we serve. Hey, thanks, David. Shabbat shalom, folks, and if you're keeping the Pesach or watching it, then Chag Sameach.